I had occasion between the last convention and this convention to be invited to speak before the American Cancer Society colostomy group in New York City. And at the end of the talk, typical of what we have, some people who didn't ask their questions from the floor came up and surrounded me with questions, but there was one man in particular who said, "Well, isn't the problem caused by genes?" Someone lost all his notes. This is going on tape. Did anyone find Dan Squilanti's right?
I guess so.
No respect for your taping. Should I start at the beginning or just go on from the director? I'm starting at the beginning, though. Oh, my. All right, I won't. Let me just repeat, and I'll say that I'm repeating it, that I had, this man came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Well, isn't this in the genes?" And I looked at him strangely, and I couldn't imagine what he was talking about the cancer or colon cancer being in the genes. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, there are two or three." He mentioned whether it was a cousin, an uncle, a father, a brother, and I can't remember all of that, members of the family who also had colon cancer. And so therefore, he felt he was a product of this family and it was in the genes. Well, when we started to plan this convention, I thought to myself, as a matter of fact, I immediately thought of a patient that we had helped, I think, 14 years ago, and periodically was in touch with, where, and I told this to this patient, and I said, "I don't think so." I said, "Because we have a patient who's a colon cancer patient, whose mother had a colon cancer and had a colostomy, died within a year, whose father had colon cancer, had a colostomy, and died within a year. But this patient isn't dead, he's doing very well, a colon cancer patient." So when we started to plan this convention, I said, "This is time for me to call Bernie Evans and have him make a presentation, because I'm sure there might be other people where there's a member of the family with breast cancer, assuming therefore they're going to be victims, and especially if they get breast cancer and they've seen a parent die, that they can be absolutely sure death is imminent for them." And so you can see the importance of this particular case history. And he's a very pleasant, outgoing kind of person with a smile on his face at all times. And so how can a person like that possibly have a cancer problem and even succumb to a cancer problem? I want him to tell you his case history. Bernie, it's a delight to have you here.
I hope I don't pass out. I'm more scared than I was prior to the surgical procedure. Well, let's see.
Don't let it bother you. Pay no attention.
Oh, this thing? I don't know. Do I need
no,
it?
No, I yet.
Okay. All right. I made some memos while I was talking to a client one day, and I'll ramble on. Ruth Sackman will get me back in line in case I drift too far. Tomorrow, I wrote down here, tomorrow I'll be 76. Thank you. And that's the truth. Thanks to Ruth Sackman, 14 years ago, I'm going to read this, I was released from Beth Israel Hospital in Manhattan, not far from where you reside, where a resection of my colon was performed. It was a stage 2 cancerous growth. The doctor claimed that it was the worst case he ever had. It seemed like the fecal matter was backing up and coming out of my mouth. The pain was impossible to take. I had gone on with these attacks for some 8 months. I wasn't aware of what was going on, because for the last 30 years prior to that, I was very health conscious, the mixed diet, vegetables, fruits, nuts, meat, fish, a whole food diet, holistic, call it whatever you wish, and I felt wonderful. 20 or 30 years prior to that, it was hell. I had seen every doctor in New York, constipation all the time, couldn't accomplish anything. bad student, you name it, it was a problem. Immediately after I changed my diet, call it a la Rodale, McFadden, Adele Davis, the mixed diet, I found that I was feeling great. Everything worked great. My business was doubling every few weeks or so. I couldn't figure it out, and today I haven't been able to. Well, I'm just going to continue. I thought this was just constipation. I consumed large amounts of figs and so forth. Nothing worked. The only relief I received during this period was taking enema every 2 days or so. I was caught doing that down in Costa Rica. And I was down in Costa Rica because for business reasons somebody gave me a contest. And I just got by without taking that enema every 2 days. I would have died. I was eating a good diet of whole foods, mixed diet at the time, as I say, a la Rodale, vitamins, vinegar, and so on, whole food for so many years before. Now, why did I get cancer? Me of all people. My mother died, had a colostomy at age 54, and my father at age 62. An addenda to this, my mother claimed, oh, we have the best foods. Oh, yeah, the chocolate eclairs, and don't tell the doctor with a high blood pressure. We have 190 blood pressure over 110 or so, and all the chocolate cake and the grease and the garbage, and we had the best foods. Well, apparently we didn't, because it didn't do me any good those days. Until I was about 35, I didn't get on my feet. My dad was 62 and Mom 54. She was a young girl. Well, they're never going to get me at 54.
No more.
It's too late for that. And as I say, they had these colostomies, both were performed in them. They both died 1 year after surgery at a young age. Now my surgeon said to me, he said, and he was a man, one of the biggest in Manhattan, Dr. Ginsburg, had a surgery in Beth Israel, a teaching hospital. Can you all hear me out there? Okay, I'll try to remember that. Just holler out if I... And I said, you know, when he wasn't fooling around at age 84 with the nurses who respected his senility, I pulled him aside and I said, hey, Doc, how the heck did I ever get this thing? And I thought I was going to get a magic answer. I was walking around with tubes in me and all over the place. It looked like I was wired for sound. And he said, well, predisposition. I said, I don't know, these lovely nurses are not predisposed to me. Why did I get cancer? And I said, well, enough of that, and I moved on and changed the subject. Well, let's see what else we want to tell you. Now, I'm here today, thanks to the good and constant advice offered by Ruth Sackman. I bought many books on this subject, but without Mrs. Sackman's leadership and guidance, I never would have made it. I use these pancreatic enzymes daily with a diet consisting of vegetables, fruits, and nuts, a cup of yogurt daily with an egg here and there, about 8 to 12 eggs or so a week, the carrot juice freshly made. I also run the urine test with Dr. Navarro occasionally. I've gone from 5 to 0, down to negative. I was negative 3 years ago. And got a little careless and didn't take a test for 3 years, and a couple of trips to Atlantic City and cheating here and there, I got the idea to take another test. And I came back and I got a 4 and I started to worry. And I behaved myself again, and then I got in line and then ran another test a month or two later and I was down to 3. And that's supposed to be debatable. I'm very angry. The 3 I'm not too happy with. I want the 0. Okay. I know. But I'm working on that, and I think I probably up down to a 1 or a 2, or will be shortly. Now, all this was accomplished without a doctor. Because, I know more than all the doctors, you know. And I know more than Ruth Sackman. That was the problem she had with me. And she still does. It's that deluded ego that pops up all the time, you know. And the fact that I was one of the organizers of the New York Natural Hygiene Group and all like that, you know, we know all the answers. Troll and Dr. Shelton, and the vegetarians, I figured, well, I can't get cancer. Had I known what I knew now, and I wouldn't have gone around with this for 8 months, I could have called Ruth Sackman and asked her a couple of questions. Going down to Navarra, I could have done a lot of things, but I felt, well, it's nothing, it's constipation. And I wasted those 8 months. Well, let's see the rest. The bottom line on all this, I guess, is a happy, positive attitude in life. I try. I'm a businessman. I talk, do business with the public. And it's not always that easy. You do the best you can. There's good, positive attitude in life with a good diet of raw, unprocessed foods that will heal the body. I don't treat the tumor only the host, me, the cause of the cancer. Avoid stress where possible. Get plenty of rest. They do that, I'll guarantee you that. And lead the so-called holistic life. Sunshine with reason, and I don't always do it with reason. Fresh air and organic foods if possible. Now, that's the whole story. That's what it's kept me alive, and I hope. I love life. I enjoy working. And that's about the whole thing. Now, if anybody wants to ask me, I'll say, this is what I did. I'm not going to tell you what to do, because I might have to or want to change some of these modalities tomorrow or 6 months from now. But without the captain here, I'm all over the place. Generally, I've spoken to a half a dozen of these practitioners today. They're all more or less will start you out with a good basic raw food diet with all the live enzymes. And a good deal of them, I guess, are recommending the pancreatic enzymes that I take after each meal. I don't cheat on those. I don't mind taking extras. I'll get up maybe in the night at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, or whatever time it is. If I wake up, and I'll throw 3 down. And on an empty stomach, I got some of that business from Dr. Kelly. And I don't know how good that is, but here I am. You decide. If that'll do you any good, I hope I've done something right. I know I've done a lot of wrong things, and you'll be the guest.
All right.
Anybody wants to ask me more questions?
With 8 to 10 eggs a week, what's your cholesterol level?
I never checked it, and I'm not so worried. Because, now mind you, I live on raw food. And I need a certain amount of cholesterol. Maybe I have to a cup of yogurt a day. It might be a good idea to take my cholesterol test. We'll get to that someday. I'm not too worried about that.
Okay. I think there's a mistaken impression about eggs and cholesterol. Eggs have lecithin.
The cholesterol factor in the yolk.
That's right, more anti-cholesterol factor. Hard-boiled eggs, I won't say the same thing about. That can build cholesterol. But if you use the yolk of the egg uncooked, and it doesn't have to be a raw egg, but to keep the yolk uncooked, you've got lecithin there, and it takes fat to dissolve fat, so it usually will dissolve cholesterol, not vice versa.
Rodale wrote an article one time, and my wife brought this to my attention. There was a chicken farmer that was eating 20 or 30 eggs a day. He had a cholesterol test taken. It was normal.
You know, for years, the doctors were saying to patients, cardiac patients, you know, that you can't have this fat or that fat or the other fat. And now, recently, of course, they've come to a sounder conclusion, which fortunately happens in many instances, that you've got low-density lipoproteins and high-density lipoproteins, so that there are some fats that the body ought to use to reduce the cholesterol and some fats that will cause the rise in cholesterol. Take something else into account. If you've got a grease stain on your clothing, you know what will take it out faster than anything else? Grease. You rub grease in it, and then wash it out, and it will usually take out the grease stain. So you've got to have oil to dissolve the cholesterol. Go ahead.
I have two questions. It sounded like your first diet wasn't really that unreasonable. You seem to be very conscious of trying to eat a good diet. Was there some kind of a stress factor that may have occurred at some point, either even a joyful stress?
Glad you brought it up. Before everybody leaves, on my account, let's not go into that, because my wife has always told me, you know, you think everything is... Oh, I said, no, I didn't say everything is food. You did. You know, and the spiritual, the stress, and she's anything but a relaxed person with the spiritual and this and that, and I don't nullify that or tell anybody what religion or what to use, whether it's biofeedback or theology or whatever. There was a stress factor. Yes, my wife conked out. She had a mental depression for 2 years. And what did I do? Well, I tell you what I did. I took her to one of these marvelous, with a capital M, these psychiatrists who uses shock treatment. And he said, Mr. Nevins, you better give this woman electroshock treatment. I said, you don't mind if I think it over, do you, Doc? Well, you're on your own. I said, I've been on my own since I'm 4 years old, so we'll think that over. And I left the office. And I went through hell for a year and a half. But I did, wait a minute, I did one thing smart in my life. I read an article in Reader's Digest, and this is a story of a man who had a lovely wife. The wife had wonderful parents, her husband had wonderful parents, the children were all making a good living, well-educated, respected. There was love all over, going back a couple of generations, no problem, plenty of money in the family. All of a sudden, he comes home one night, she says, you come in here, I'll kill you. I have a gun. Well, she had some kind of a depression, mental hospital. They take her in. He takes her out for a weekend on a Sunday. She's okay. He takes her back the next time, the whole week. I kept this article for years later. When this happened to my wife, I had her through a half a dozen psychiatrists, and I think the tranquilizers, I didn't want to use them. It was Etrafon. It was a Cuban doctor that saved my life. I had her in a state mental institution 4 or 5 weeks. She came back. She was wonderful. Then we stopped the tranquilizers, and the body uses them up in a few weeks, and it started all over again. I was ready to jump. And this Dr. Herrera said to me, don't jump yet. Come back next week. Do what I tell you. I said, okay. And then I slowly started reducing. I had read this article where this fellow was taking his wife out. Then he took her out, and every once in a while he reduced them. He'd cut a pill in half. He'd distract her. I did this one. I said, Rose, we're going to go to a movie. Oh, that's good. Go get dressed. I said, you'll take your tranquilizer later. And she'd forget. Oh, I can't take it now. Well, now she's down to 2 a day, and on and on and on. You go through something like that, is that stress? Yes. Now, this is 10 years ago. She's wonderful now and twice as nasty.
The other thing I wanted
to... Aren't you sorry you asked me?
No.
Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, I'll make you swallow this one.
It makes me...
Then she had a hysterectomy, she had a fibroid tumors. And Dr. Capalbo, I don't know whether he's still alive, I couldn't care less. He says, again, Mr. Nevins, you're on your own. This woman needs an operation. And this guy that knows it all, you know, the hygiene boy, fasting, this and that. I said, oh, I'd rather kill myself and put her through major surgery like that. So then he said to me, the hysterectomy. And I got to somebody else, and I was recommended to Dr. Silverman. Who is Dr. Silverman? He's the head gynecologist, professor of gynecology, and a surgeon in the New York hospital, one of the best. He said, I haven't seen the woman at her age. I'll say 8 out of 10, she don't need it. Bring her in, I'll give her a D&C. She got a D&C, I took her home the next day, and she liked it so there, she wanted to stay there. Of course, she still had the mental depression, but she had that. Now, the fibroid tumors, this is, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. 76 tomorrow with me, and she's about to be 73 Christmas. And she didn't have that operation. That's 2 times we could have perished. And on and on and on and on. I have the whole thing in my family. And my sister's end of it, where they're top people in research and all. They follow the conventional path.
My brother-in-law had cancer, and he bragged to me about these wonderful doctors that come to his house and don't cheat him and don't ask him for any money. And then he'd say to me, well, these are marvelous, the biggest doctors. They don't even charge me. I said, I have a friend of mine down Manhattan Beach. All I have to do is give him a bite of the apple. He sits under the Coney Island boardwalk and waits for me. Now, my brother-in-law is dead now, about 5 years. One of the biggest biochemists in the country. And again, his brother-in-law, Danny Melnick, around the corner, he laughed at me. There is no such thing as organic foods, he said to me. And he told me all about heart trouble. He perfected this corn oil, you know, that lowers the cholesterol. And we see what a fake that is now. Cold press. And he died of heart a couple of years ago. And then he also told me cigarettes are okay. So then when he got a cancer of the throat, I said, you're smoking the wrong brand, Danny. Yeah.
The other part of my question,
yeah, go ahead.
Was I wondered, since your diet was pretty decent to begin with before you had the cancer.
Why did I get it?
We know the stress. I mean, you know, now we see that there's a mind factor.
You couldn't get it even though there's right. Many other things.
But my question on that is, with the diet, when you made the changes, was the basic change the fact that you went from some cooked food to all raw food? Or you want all raw food now?
And now, as I say, I'm on the raw food diet. I don't like the taste of raw potatoes. I can sit down and eat 4 or 5 baked potatoes, a big bowl of rice with more garlic than I care to discuss in public here. I can just eat that. I got some of those ideas.
So what's the main thing you eliminated then from your former diet? That's what
the flesh foods.
The flesh foods.
Sure, the meat, the fish, the chicken. And right now, where most of the fish comes from, you know, I put my foot, I live down at the beach, and I put my ankle, I put my ankle into the last week into the Atlantic Ocean, about 20 yards from where I reside. And from what people told me, I was going to have my foot amputated with the filth and dirt. Now, how can you eat fish that comes from those waters?
If you could get organic fish and organic chicken, do you organic? Think that would be
come on,
organically grown? Do you think that would be helpful?
That's a dirty word in my lexicon. Okay, so it's a relative that. Term, organic.
So you don't
how
use
organic
any meat? You use no meats, no fish, no chicken?
Well, maybe in another few months, if I run down to Atlantic City and I cheat, I might eat a piece of fish or something. But I'm trying to behave myself and keep away from that.
So you think that was the big difference then in turning you around?
Yeah, this is a stress factor. There's many things. I don't know the answer.
But I just wanted to know what he did for himself.
Yeah, well, he's been on a hygienist system primarily, but he does take the pancreatic enzymes and the other, which one, it doesn't matter. The enzymes can't be doctored too much. What I want to say is the real key is the balance in the diet, not whether he has cooked food or raw food. He does have a baked potato.
Acid alkaline, I learned.
Does he still use the enemas?
All right, listen to this.
Does he still use enemas and things like that?
Enemas.
Do you use any enemas?
Oh, okay, that's that one.
Come to the mic.
Yeah, that's a situation. You know, I don't want to get too personal because then there'll be nothing left. You'll know so much about me, I'll lose my identity. I called Ruth up, and this is a stress factor. And I'm working under stress, not so much in my insurance business, because if I didn't like it, I'd dump it. But some of these problems in my wife's end of things might have something to do with it. Now, maybe I'm a coward looking for a cause, but it's kind of hard to close your mind to serious problems.
So is it possible if you'd gotten some help in counseling along those lines?
When my wife has a 45-year-old boy in a state mental institution called schizophrenia, yeah, I call it the wrong mother, whether she likes it or not. And if she hears what I'm saying or hears about it and she wants to divorce me, well and good, because I've told her enough.
Yeah, it sounds like you really
I think it's picking the wrong parents.
You had a lot of overwhelming problems.
Well, it's still there, yeah. And I'm trying to build a fence around it. And you're not always...
Good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. You too.
Again, I'm commenting about something. If you heard Dr. Goldberg yesterday, and what did she say? That if you've got negative thoughts, some people say you must have positive thoughts, but if you have negative thoughts, the thing to do is to express them. Well, I think Bernie Nevins is expressing all of his feelings about it. And in spite of the fact that he might find some anguish with his wife, he's a good husband, takes care of her, and they're together.
Well, I'm the cancer personality. Loves to get beaten down. The psychologist told you. The psychologist just spoke about the cancer personality. Maybe I just enjoy all these big things to face.
Well,
I don't know. I think about the worst of everything has come my way and I rose above it. Maybe I'm looking for this.
Thank you, Bernie. I told you it would be an interesting talk, and I enjoyed it too.